This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines, rockets strike two military bases hosting U.S. occupation forces in eastern Syria, injuring three American troopers. Tehran says it's reviewing Washington's response to its comments on an EU draft proposal for the revival of the nuclear deal and rejects rumors about the content of the U.S. response. Plus, Taiwan proposes raising its total military spending to $19 billion for next year, and a move that could further fuel tensions with China. Our top story for this half hour, two military bases hosting U.S. occupation forces in the eastern Syrian province of Deir al-Zawr have come under rocket attack. Syria's official Sana News Agency quoted local sources as saying several rockets fell inside the two U.S. military bases located at Al Omar and Conico oil fields in the countryside of Deir al-Zawr. The sources said the attacks were followed by plumes of smoke rising from the bases. According to a U.S. military statement, three U.S. service members suffered minor injuries. U.S. military aircraft conducted flights over the area of the attacks. The new attacks came after the U.S. military carried out airstrikes on eastern Syria on Tuesday, claiming it hit facilities used by Iran-linked fighters there. Iran has slammed the latest U.S. airstrikes as a breach of Syria's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Tehran has also denied U.S. military claims that its targets were Iran-linked groups. Our correspondent Muhammad Ali explains why the U.S. claims that Iran-linked groups target its bases in Syria are false.
This is the second time that the U.S. In 24 hours claims that those groups targeting it are linked to Iran. While we all know that Iran has no troops or forces in Syria, yes, there are some military advisors at the request of the Syrian government, but there are no troops, and the United States never actually gave any proof that those groups, as it claims, are linked to Iran. This is first what happened, and then after that attack, the U.S. Central Command, in a statement, said that it responded back using helicopters to the source of fire, killing two or three individuals that used a car to attack that site over there. Now, what is very important to point out too is that this time there has been there were three U.S. soldiers injured. Now, it could be any popular group in that area, people of that area that are sending messages to the United States that you are occupying our territories, you are stealing our oil, and you should leave. This is perhaps how analysts see and people see such attacks against the U.S. Forces of occupation in Syria. They want them out because they are stealing their oil, they are dividing the country, they are supporting terrorism and training on terrorist groups in that area. So this is definitely a direct message for the U.S. To exit and leave Syria.
Well, Iran says it's reviewing the United States' response to its comments on an EU-drafted proposal to salvage the 2015 nuclear deal. The Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani has confirmed the receiving of Washington's response through the European Union. He says Tehran is carefully reviewing the response and will convey its final thoughts through the EU coordinator. There are still some gaps between Iran and the U.S. with regards to the revival of the agreement. Several rounds of talks coordinated by the EU have been held between Iran and the other signatories for nearly 16 months. Iran has been demanding sanctions relief, economic guarantees, as well as assurances that the U.S. will not withdraw from the pact again. The White House is set to have turned down a request from Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid for an emergency call with President Joe Biden, with Israeli media speculating that the rebuff could be linked to the ongoing negotiations over the Iran nuclear deal. Based on reports, Biden's office has said the president cannot talk over the phone because he's currently on vacation. Also, according to Israeli news outlets, Israeli Minister for Military Affairs Benny Gantz will not be able to meet with Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin during his visit to Washington on Thursday because he will be out of town. Gantz has said he's visiting the U.S. to convey the Tel Aviv regime's concerns about the Iran deal. The Israeli regime is seemingly ramping up anti-Iran efforts amid fresh hopes for the renewal of the 2015 deal. The agreement was thrown into limbo due to the U.S.'s withdrawal and the return of sanctions against Iran 4 years ago. When it comes to nuclear weapons, there is no justification in its possession, let alone its use. Yet countries like the U.S. believe they are entitled to have them while dictating others not to have those weapons. Iran, meanwhile, has called for the complete elimination of nuclear weapons, especially in West Asia. The only obstacle in that regard is Israel, which refuses not only to disclose its stockpile, but doesn't move toward its elimination.
Iran has once again raised the alarm bells over Israel's nuclear stockpile, saying the regime must destroy its nuclear weapons. The remarks were made by Iran's ambassador and permanent representative to the United Nations, Majid Takhtravanchi. He also expressed concern over the lack of progress in the implementation of the 1995 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, or the NPT resolution, and the 2010 Action Plan on the Middle East. NPT is a landmark international treaty whose objective is to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and weapons technology. In 1995, the NPT Review Conference adopted a resolution on the Middle East calling on states to take practical steps to make progress in the establishment of region free of weapons of mass destruction.
The countries that have nukes are not supporting nuclear disarmament. They aren't supporting the new treaty, which has been signed by many, many other countries in the United Nations, forbidding anyone to have nuclear weapons. So I don't know what the answer is, except that I think Iran is on the right side of history in this particular context.
Takhtravanchi also slammed double standards adopted by the United States with regards to Israel, saying the regime in Tel Aviv must join the NPT, quote, without precondition and further delay, and place all of its nuclear activities under the Comprehensive International Atomic Energy Agency safeguards. Iran says the move is essential in realizing the goal of universal adherence to the treaty in the Middle East and establishment of a nuclear weapon-free zone in the Middle East.
But Israel is very aggressive. The people there are very deluded. They think that somehow they can acquire control over much larger areas of the Middle East than they already have, instead of understanding that they're losing control of the area they have right now. And the United States uses Israel as sort of a base, an aircraft carrier bordering on the rest of the Middle East.
Given the fact that Israel is not a member of the NPT and does not allow any UN inspections of its nuclear facilities, it risks security issues such as contamination. For example, Israel's nuclear facilities poses a danger to the Palestinian territories and their environment. It has been cited that Israel buries its nuclear waste and hazardous material in the occupied West Bank.
Israel has pursued a policy of deliberate ambiguity with regards to its nuclear policy. But it's an open secret that the regime is the sole possessor of nuclear weapons in this region. Based on estimations, the regime is believed to possess 200 to 400 nuclear warheads in its arsenal. Israel has, however, refused to either allow inspections of its military nuclear facilities or sign the NPT. But the regime has been emboldened by the support from the United States and European states. Washington and its allies have refused to press Israel to open up its nuclear arsenal to international inspections. Israel is the world's eighth largest nuclear power and initiated its nuclear program in 1952 with technological support from France and the US, the two countries most vocal about Iran's peaceful nuclear program. The regime's secret nuclear program was made known thanks to technician Mordechai Vanunu, who blew the lid off Pandora's box back in 1986.
As far as Israel goes, I think they're going to, they're losing support of the global community rapidly through their behavior these days, because they've just gone so far outside of reality. Again, their behavior is so unacceptable, and their claims are so surreal that no one can buy them. And even here in the U.S., they're losing support because the people themselves are going, what can you say about, you know, a country that acts like this? There's no excuses left.
The regime's refusal to join international inspections and eliminate its nuclear stockpile comes amid its vehement opposition to Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program. Tehran's nuclear activities have been under the full international inspections. Over the years, the regime has assassinated at least 7 Iranian nuclear scientists and conducted a series of sabotage operations against the Islamic Republic's nuclear facilities. The regime has also threatened to launch attacks against Iran's nuclear facilities.
Iran's large-scale nationwide drone drills continue for a second day. Precision strike drones have successfully destroyed mock enemy targets. A spokesman for the drill says different types of drones have been flown on missions covering vast areas from the Persian Gulf in the south all the way to the country's east, west, north, and center. According to Admiral Mahmoud Mousavi, the drills represent the capabilities of a range of domestically manufactured drones in offensive and defensive scenarios. The Army's ground, naval, air force, and air defense forces are taking part in the first ever combined drills. More than 150 surveillance and combat drones are being put to the test for their control systems and combat capabilities. On the first day, the UAVs carried out intelligence gathering and patrol missions. Taiwan is planning to increase its military budget for 2023. Amid rising tensions with China, Taipei has proposed $19 billion in defense spending, which must be approved by the parliament. That's nearly 14% higher compared to last year's budget. The new funds will be spent on purchasing new fighter jets. For 6 years in a row, Taipei has raised its military funding. The situation remains volatile around the Taiwan Strait, with both China and Taiwan conducting drills in recent weeks. Beijing views the island as its sovereign territory. A visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan earlier this month infuriated China. Beijing views Washington's diplomatic exchanges with and arms sales to Taipei as attempts to boost separatist forces in Taiwan. Moving on to the U.S. city of Uvalde, where the school district's police chief is now out of his job over his poor handling of the tragic shooting.
Mr. Board President, I move that good cause exists to terminate the non-certified contract of Pete Arredondo effective immediately. I further move that good cause exists to ratify the unpaid leave status of Mr. Arredondo starting July 19, 2022. Finally, I move to authorize the superintendent to issue written notice to Mr. Arredondo of this board action, including filing any needed reports required by the termination.
Second. Got a motion by Ms. Laura Perez, second by Mr. Javier Flores. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion passes unanimously.
Additionally, the city school board has decided to dismiss Officer Pete Arredondo for failing to act in time to protect the victims of the massacre at the Texas elementary school about 3 months ago. As many as 19 children and 2 teachers were killed in that rampage. The victims' parents had been demanding the police officer's dismissal. Arredondo, however, denies the charges, saying he did not hold back his team from responding to the shooter. His attorney is also critical of the school board for making the decision without conducting an investigation to obtain evidence. The economic crisis in the Eurozone may only be getting started, with data showing a slowdown of recession-level proportions. For many, the question is not for how many seasons will the bloc be in recession, but for how many years. Rami Mazari has more from Paris.
Evidence continues to mount that France and the Eurozone are facing a long period of recession. French economic output just contracted for the first time in 18 months, with Germany's business activity plunging even deeper. The decline in output and demand has almost too many causes to list. At 6 months into the unrest in Ukraine, Europe's energy import costs have now quadrupled. The costly conflict shows no sign of easing as Brussels has abandoned diplomatic efforts with Moscow. The current drought across the continent appears to be the worst in the last 500 years, hurting crop yields, sparking wildfires, and increasing pessimism. That's helped push the euro to its lowest level in 20 years. The euro is now worth less than the United States dollar.
There are obviously many crises which are causing major problems for Europe, and many are linked to what's going on in Ukraine. However, we should not forget the supply chain problems which began with the coronavirus pandemic, nor the European sovereign debt crisis.
Despite the increase in gloom, last month the European Central Bank decided to raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years. That makes borrowing even more costly for businesses and individuals and could spark mass layoffs, bankruptcies, and home foreclosures. The U.S. has hiked interest rates faster than in Europe, while indicating that more rate increases will arrive soon. Since the Great Recession began, Western central banks have aligned their policies, though they do not move in an exact lockstep. The cost of living crisis is expected to significantly worsen this winter. However, many say a negative outlook for the world's most unstable macroeconomic bloc is more accurately described in years and not just seasons.
Inflation is something which could penalize the average person for 1, 2, or maybe even 3 years. So we are witnessing how the average French household is getting much, much poorer. Senior citizens are especially being hurt, and this will have major political consequences in France.
Analysts say a possible solution to Europe's energy crisis is to implement the JCPOA pact on Iran's nuclear energy program. However, both Washington and Tel Aviv continue to hinder Europe's ability to protect its own economic interests. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Bye, everybody.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Forbidden Files. I grew up in the United States with a counting song that went like this. One little, two little, three little Indians, four little, five little, six little Indians, seven little, eight little, nine little Indians, 10 little Indian boys. Now, this was supposed to be a song for kids to learn how to count. And the other part of it is they dive in the boat, and the boat turns over, 10 little, nine little, eight little Indian boys, and continues. If one thinks about what is being said, it is shocking, but as a kid, I just mimicked the lyrics like the other kids, not realizing the overall effect. I also grew up being shown Indian savages on westerns and how the poor white man just wanted to live in peace and develop the land that he had discovered. But the Redskins would not let them live in peace. This is the other process, meaning dehumanizing people. And these are just two examples of the way the original inhabitants of North America, the natives, were demonized and discounted, even up to this day, in what is now the United States. From the time the European colonizers stepped foot on that land, the white man saw the natives as less than themselves. They were less human, less smart, less civilized, less deserving, which led to the invaders being able to forcibly remove and exterminate much of the original population of the land a lot easier. Hello and welcome to Hidden Files. Today we will be looking at the original inhabitants of North America, the natives. I am Marzia Hashimi. Welcome. Well, the natives had lived on that land for tens of thousands of years. In 1492, when Columbus actually landed there, there were 112 million indigenous people. 112 million indigenous people. Keep that number in mind, because as we fast forward and we go to 1650, we have gone from that number of 112 million to 6 million people. Imagine that, by 1650. Unfortunately, the tragedy is so multifaceted. We look at then from between 1776 to 1887, and 1.5 billion acres of native land was stolen. This is the story, only part of the tragedy of the natives. Well, from being free to roam and live on over a billion acres to being forced to live on reservations, this became the reality for most natives who didn't die at the hands of the colonizers. Reservations were set up by the whites to control the native population, while at the same time more of their land could be stolen, Harsh measures were implemented, and brainwashing and miseducation were techniques used, as well as the Christianization of the natives on the reservations. Now, the land that the Europeans forced the natives to live on usually was not as fertile as the land they were used to having, or was the type of terrain that they were not familiar with. And many different tribes were thrown together on a reservation, not giving thought to if they were friendly with each other or if the tribe was used to farming or not. We're going to look at the role reservations have played and continue to play in the oppression and attempted elimination of Native people with my first guest.
Bleak.
Oppression.
Small.
Small. They're beautiful and sad at the same time. It's beautiful because you're surrounded by people that are just like you. But it's sad because everything that affects big cities, whether it's drugs or alcohol or everything's magnified on a reservation. You see it up front, like in your face.
Sick. You know, there's alcoholism, there's, you know, there's abuse, there's a domestic violence. There's a lot of things that go on a reservation that really goes overlooked.
Just a compromise. It was an agreement based, well, forced agreement probably, that Native Americans were put kind of out of the way, out of sight.
Yeah. Prison. It's like where we were trapped.
Do you think it's the most common misconception about reservations?
That there's some kind of abundance, that Natives are happy, that they're caring for each other, that they live in some ancient way.
Ooh, sad.
Poor.
A concentration camp. Reservations were made to isolate Indian people and hope that we would die off.
Depressing.
Unfair, because they're not as good as other lands. They're the land that the government and people don't want.
Trapped? It wasn't great farmland, it wasn't great homeland, and so it kind of feels like a place off to the side.
Even to this day, the natives are fighting for rights, to keep the little what they have.
There are no good reservations. Here's your reservation. You can't go across that boundary. This is your reservation. And I grew up on a Navajo reservation, and we're one of the few lucky people that got to remain where our homelands are. But there are other reservations where people were forced there and they can't fend for themselves like they used to do in the old days. You can't hunt anymore, you can't fish anymore, because you're just stuck on a reservation on these substandard housing, living in third world country conditions, youths killing themselves because there's no future, there's no hope. That's a reservation to me.
Very sad indeed, and one which hopefully makes us think of what Native Americans have gone through and what they're going through even right now at the hands of this white settler colonial entity. Well, let me get our first guest on to this program to give us a first-hand perspective of all of this.
Juan B. Mancius, the tribal chairman of the Carrizo Comecrudo tribe. Juan is the eldest born to a lineage of hereditary chiefs of the Carrizo Comecrudo, but also descends from the Tasuki Pueblo and Kikapo nations. He has held leadership roles as an assistant tribal administrator with the Kikapo Traditional Tribe of Texas and the tribal administrator of the Scotts Valley Band of Pahwa Indians of California and the Alabama Coushatta Tribe of Texas. Today, Juan focuses on decolonizing both tribal people and others. He has written a 12-step decolonization program and presents it frequently at conferences and seminars.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome to Hidden Files. Can you tell us about the role reservations played in oppressing the natives?
At the very beginning, I think a lot of the reservations that were set up were set to confine and to change our life ways to the lifestyles And there's a difference between those life ways and those lifestyles. Our life ways are our traditional values and our traditional beliefs compared to the ideals of lifestyles that was brought here by the colonization. And that became very oppressive because we were practically being brainwashed to change, to accommodate, the colonizers that were here. And so for a long time, I think, I know that a lot of our relatives were on other reservations were not allowed to leave the reservation without permission, and that's become commonly most of the undoing of losing a lot of our language, losing a lot of who we are. Of course, you know, then by doing that, they stole a lot of the land.
Well, what are other techniques used by the Europeans, in your perspective, to oppress the natives?
I think that for the longest time, the big oppression in this area has been, you know, the Spanish mission concept of coming in and trying to... They were cutting our hands and cutting our legs and, you know, hanging us and to try to... So those that didn't want to convert. And that happened throughout the Middle Americas, what is called Americas now. So there's a lot of oppression based on being forced to learn one language and to forget your language. The boarding school system was one of those. The missions of this area of the Southwest were another one of those. To the Southwest and through California, they were very oppressive to who you are, who we are, and they outlawed a lot of our ceremonies.
And I mean, what would you say are some of the main problems that natives still face today?
And that's what they did here with the doctrine of discovery. They said if we don't believe the way they do or live the way they do, that they could kill us. And that's what they did for a long time. And here in Texas, up until the 1940s, they were still killing us. And they were finding ways to take away the land, and that's how they did it. And we're, you know, there's still a high percentage of prisons that have a large percentage of people of color. That should tell you something too. But they still want to control what they're. And if you speak very loudly, you get. They'll find ways to get you. So, thing is that they like their system the way it is, and it's only for them. And for the rest of us are just supposed to suck it up, you know. And that's no longer the question here. I'm not here to make the white man comfortable anymore. I'm here to make my people comfortable. So,
and with that, we appreciate you being with us right here at Hidden Files. Oh, stay tuned. We're going to welcome our next guest to the program right after this.
Terrence Nelson, Vice Chairman of the American Indian Movement. Terrence is also spokesman for the Okiida Warrior Society. He's former chief of Roseau River Anishinaabe First Nation and has written numerous books and booklets.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Hidden Files. How are reservations still being used today, in your perspective, to repress natives?
Well, one of the things is that you can't pledge any lands, you don't have access to the banks because you can't pledge anything on a reservation land. You're denied access to the economy. So United States, the indigenous peoples living on reservations are probably, they're the most impoverished people because it's deliberately set out like that so that the indigenous people don't have the money to fight the system that they find themselves in. So it is it's economic repression.
Well, there are so many tragic events in Native history. One is the Trail of Tears, even significant by its name. Can you talk about this event and others that you think may even affect your people today?
Well, on the Trail of Tears, they just rounded them right up, and they force-marched them to Oklahoma. But that was only one area where they ended up doing that. Amongst the Dakotas in North Dakota, South Dakota, they basically rounded up the people and they forced them onto reservations. And then when they didn't want to do that, like there was lots of different, highlights in history where the indigenous people fought back. That's why you have names like Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, and those ones that, like Geronimo, and those ones that have come through history that fought back. They fought back, and they were just small groups of people most of the time. They didn't have a lot of weapons and guns and things like that. They basically fought back as best they could. And the United States Army was extremely well equipped. They had all kinds of manufacturing of Gatling guns. They had all kinds of cannons. They had mounted horses and armies and, fighting against people that were just essentially had to. They hauled their women and their children and their living, and they basically slaughtered all of the buffalo so that the indigenous people didn't have anything to eat. But there was. Those are things that people don't understand. Yeah, when you don't have anything to eat, when you have your children, you're looking at your children that are starving, and you're trying to fight back. Well, that's what the indigenous people did, and that Trail of Tears you talk about, that's what they did. They essentially force marched them, and they fed them whatever little that they had, and then they basically just the indigenous people were falling off and they were dying. It was because when you, as a parent or as a grandparent, and you see these little kids dying, how horrible is that? People don't understand that. The policies even extended to the residential school area, they call it here in Canada, but on the American side, it was called the boarding schools, where our Native Americans were essentially taken from their homes when they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and taken to a school run by the churches and run by the, and they were forcibly indoctrinated into Christianity, and they were told that they were devil worshippers, these kids, that their parents were heathens and everything else like that. So that's the way that they were taught. What's tragic right now is that the Native Americans and our people are, we don't know the true history of what happened to our people, because the one that controls history or the textbooks and the is the ones that essentially write the books, and it is the Europeans that wrote the books. So the Trail of Tears is not well known in the U.S. school system, and then they kind of come along and they tell these young white people that the Native Americans are dependent people, that they get their free money from the United States government and everything else like that. Meanwhile, nobody talks about all of the resources that are sold to keep the to subsidize the Native the American lifestyle. So the gold, the silver, uranium, platinum, oil, trees, water, everything that is now owned by the Europeans and sold to everybody else, they don't pay it to the indigenous people. They pay it to the corporations and to the governments that sell these products. But it was originally owned by the indigenous people.
Indeed, it is a sad story what happens and continues to happen to the indigenous people. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being with us. Well, I started off this program by talking about so-called poems and TV shows that ignore the humanity of the natives. And this is still a problem and is endemic of settler colonialism. When it is said that they, the white man, the European, discovered this nation and that they birthed a nation from nothing, these lies add to the facade of white supremacy. Now, the very roots of the United States were laid by Native and African genocide and displacement, when in its own constitution, Thomas Jefferson writes about the merciless Indian savages. How likely can we expect the change in the way Washington deals with the original people of that land? As violence is the foundation of white supremacy and imperialism is nourished by exploitation, it is more likely that viewing and treating natives as less than will continue. So it is the natives themselves who must continue to demand their rights and not remain silent. I end this program with a quote from a native chief, Hedmat Toyolaket, who said, "Let me be a free man, free to travel, free to stop, free to work, free to trade, where I choose my own teachers, free to follow the religion of my fathers, free to think and talk and act for myself, and I will obey every law or submit to the penalty. Otherwise, it seems that resistance is the only way." We will definitely be continually to bring you the latest on the natives. For now, though, that's goodbye for me and all the crew right here at Hidden Files. Thank you so much for being with us, and let us hear from you, from your corner of the world. I'm Marzia Hashimi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi. Another key of life we need to have to unlock the doors to a blissful, beautiful, prosperous life is not to put ourselves in too much doubts and in too much thinking about things that will get us nowhere. Because sometimes when we think, sadly, we overthink things. We lose that simplicity of life itself. Because with a little thought, with a little contemplation, we can achieve many things. Sometimes we are required to have in-depth thoughts, but generally speaking, we need to have a thought that will get us to a place, not to indulge so much in it that I actually lose the way of life. Islam has put a system in place where it created a program for man in all fields of his life. And he does not want him to overdo things. So Allah says, this is what's required, this is not what's required. So do not put more effort into or on yourself is trying to achieve things in matters of this world or even in matters of ibadah, in matters of worship or anything in that aspect. Because sometimes we overdo things and we're trying to think that I am doing it better. So some people, they would leave their life, they go to the masjid and they spend their whole day and night in trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is takalluf, this is putting too much pressure on effort on yourself. That is actually not required. Or someone who spends all his day and night trying to gain wealth. This is also not required. And so on and so forth. When we look at the hadith and the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they tell us the following. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, "Inni la ahubbu al-mutakallifin." I hate those who put too much pressure on themselves and they, you know, go out of their way to do things. So sometimes even we do this when we have a guest, for example. We go out of our way just to please that guest. Where the hadith says, شَرُّ الْأُخْوَانِ مَا تُكُلِّفَ لَهُ. The worst of the brothers is the one that you have to go out of your way to please. Just stay with the normal. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, لَا تُلْزِمْ ضَيْفَكَ بِمَا يَشُقُّ عَلَيْكَ. Do not give your guest more than which you can bury and give. Because sometimes you have a limited capacity, sometimes you have a limited sustenance, you have limited things to offer to your guest. Don't overdo that. Islam has put a system in place for these things. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he talks about guests in this regard, he constantly says, do not overdo things. Do only that what you can. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, he says, أَحْنَأُ الْعَيْشِ. The best of living. You want a comfortable life? You want an easy life? Then follow this advice of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he says, the best and the most prosperous way of living, اِطْرَحَ الْكُلْفِ. Leave, you know, that trying to put too much effort on yourself. Go with the program of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one of his advices to his son, he says, Ya bunay al-rizqu rizqan. There are two types of sustenance. Rizqun tatlubuhu. There's a sustenance that you seek. Wa rizqun yatlubuk. And there's a sustenance that seeks you. فَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ أَتَاكَ. If you don't come to it, it will come to you. فَلَا تَحْمَلْ حَمَّ سَنَتِكَ. Do not carry the worry of a whole year to come. عَلَى هَمِّ يَوْمِكَ. On the worry of your day. So there is a limited worry for the day, and there's a time for a worry for a whole year. Now, let's leave it here, take a short break, then we continue right after.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life. We were looking at how Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, giving an advice to his son, and he says to him that when it comes to worries, there is a worry for one day, and there's a worry for a whole year. And sometimes I bring the worry of an entire year and I try to carry it in one day. He says, do not do this. He says, وَكَفَاكَ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مَهُوَ فِي. Stay with every day and whatever it holds. So basically he's trying to say, live your time one day at a time. Now, alhamdulillah, let me make sure that I have meals for today. Let me make sure that my affairs are in order for today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will work out the rest. Obviously, we do need to think of the future. We need to plan ahead, but not to carry that worry on our shoulders of what will happen to me in a year time. What am I going to eat in a year time? That's an extra worry that's not required. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, when he gives this advice to his son, he's expecting him to live that happy life. Imam Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. And also along these lines, when he talks about friendship, for example, and he says, also do not carry too much weight on your shoulders. وَلَا يَتَحَامَلُ الْأَصْدِقَاءِ. And he says, when it comes to friends, they do not burden themselves for the sake of their friends. And in that regard, we have also a hadith as well. Also, Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi says, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَذُلَّ نَفْسَهُ. It is not permissible for a believing man or woman to humiliate themselves. And they said to him, why? And he says, يُتَعَرَّضُ لِمَا لَا يُطِيقُ. He put himself in harm's way to things that he cannot carry and handle. So sometimes I want to do something for a person, but I know I can't do it. My hands are tied. I go out of my way. I go, you know, as we say, I'm trying to seek the, you know, getting other people to do things for me. I put my reputation on the line. I keep going from one place to another. So in a form or in a way, I end up humiliating myself. The Imam says, you are not required. If you can't do it, just say, I can't. Don't burden yourself. That's also another key of life. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast. to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
That was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio.